get out of here.
So, we have our meeting packet. Earl, would you like to review the meeting packet?
Sure. This is the January 7th, 2015 meeting packet. In your packet tonight, what you'll find is item one is the agenda. Item two, Clean Water Commission meeting, notes from December 3rd. Item three is the annual report, which is coming around to you now. Item four is basically a review of the responsibilities for Clean Water Commission. Item five are the modifications to the bylaws. That's what we were talking about last meeting, which was in December, making these modifications to the bylaws. And that's what's in tonight's packet of materials.
Okay, so with that in mind, did everybody get a chance? Hopefully everybody got a chance to review the material.
Can you say the introduction to this one more time?
Oh, the introduction to
the meeting. To the meeting.
Called into order the January 7th, 2015 meeting of the Clean Water Commission for Clark County.
Thank you.
Okay. Did anybody get a chance to review the last set of meeting notes? Did you look at? Hopefully, yes. Any comments, questions, changes, modifications, additions? Then, if there are none, then I'll certainly entertain a motion to approve the last meeting notes.
I move to approve the last edition of the meeting.
Mr. Schaefer moves. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mr. Myers seconds. Any discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Passes unanimously. They love the meeting notes. Terrific. All right. Super. Thank you. We are at public comments. It looks like we have one public this evening.
Barely.
That's all right.
It's perfectly fine. Family gathering.
And does the public have any questions or comments they'd like to make at this time? Or do you want to wait for later?
I can wait for later.
Super.
Thank you.
So, roll call, public comments. All right, so presentations and discussions. First item on the agenda this evening is a distinguished guest. Mr. Waringa.
Hey.
Bill, going to give us an update on...
Sure. So we'll do a quick update on the polluter fee report. You guys are familiar with that. You provided some recommendations to us on how to go about doing that study. We've been sort of informally, and it's mainly work that I've been doing, focusing on what our mission and objective is as directed by the ordinance that the county commissioners passed last year, and also researching some possibilities of different fee structures that we might be able to implement, sort of narrowing the realm of possibility. Recently, I have put together a project charter that we've had some folks look at internally and Don has looked at, just to make sure we're all on the same page and have agreed expectations about what it is that we're going to deliver. And I can send that around to folks. I didn't make copies for tonight. But I just want to sort of touch on some of the items in that basically scope of work for the project. I went through the ordinance and sort of distilled the information that was written in the ordinance down to a mission, and I'll share that with you tonight. This is basically using language in the ordinance is to reevaluate the current methodology of assessing the clean water fee by preparing a study examining alternative methods for allocating the fee to those whose behaviors and or conduct generate higher pollutant impacts on surface and groundwater. That's all. That's language from three or four sentences in the ordinance that I put into one. And so our objective in achieving that mission is to propose modifications or additions to the clean water fee rate structure that are equitable, defensible, and feasible. Those are all things that really anything that we propose to the board later this year will need to pass those tests. And you guys are well aware of that. That was part of your recommendation from your task force work. we need to provide a report to the board. And if I keep saying commissioners, then forgive me. It's 12 years of calling them commissioners. But to the board of counselors, calling the board, they're still a board, by June 1st, 2015, that's our deadline. And essentially it is a report to them that they can consider in a hearing. We've put together an internal team that's made up of staff from our department as well as other departments like the treasurer, the prosecuting attorney, our GIS department, all of those folks that need to work on it. And then in general, the process... What's what? Geographic Information Systems. We have a GIS department. It's our mapping department.
There's
mapping
no
and information.
I
think the acronym's actually in the name. But good point. The Geographic Information Systems. And then so this is the sort of high-level breakdown, high-level work structure, and I think this what I've put together, these few items, do include the recommendation from the Clean Water Commission, but these are the steps that I foresee. We need to evaluate the current methodology of assessing the fee. That's something that I think is a good starting point for us to review and make sure that we're doing it appropriately. That includes the methodology, the intent of the rate structure, and also an evaluation of the equitability and fairness, I think, is pretty important to do. We're going to do that this month. We should wrap that up because that has to happen pretty early. The next step would be to identify pollutants and typical sources of pollution and storm runoff, because this is really about, evaluating pollutants and identifying, again, those behaviors that may impact pollution. And to do that, we do have data available. We have our Clark County stormwater characterization monitoring that we've been doing since 2008, roughly, and also that data that was wrapped into the Washington Department of Ecology stormwater characterization data that included information from throughout western Washington and Snohomish and King, Pierce counties, and Seattle and Tacoma. It actually makes for a pretty large data set, and Ecology has recently put all that data together and written a report kind of looking at it on a broader scale. And so that takes our data and embeds it in other data and then draws conclusions from that data set, which is really robust. So we don't need to collect new data, which is good. We talked about those data gaps that we need to look into, and I think doing stormwater characterization monitoring is very expensive and time-consuming, and so fortunately, we have enough information to be able to make conclusions about pollutants and runoff without doing additional work. It's mostly a book report exercise. And feel free to ask questions along the way.
I got a question.
Sure.
Yeah, I want to go ahead.
It's probably the same one.
Okay.
When we did our task force evaluation, we reviewed tons of stuff. But one of the conclusions was that we did not see enough data from your department that showed that you could evaluate the impact, the cleanup costs, and the maintenance of the watershed areas from solid waste.
Mm-hmm.
And so, was that your question?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, that was the open item that we had that we were looking for. That evaluation of what does it, what is the solid waste pollution, what is the cost of maintaining those watersheds with the cleanups, and what is the impact, especially for those watersheds that are showing continued deterioration.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm looking for. It sounds like it's what David's looking for.
Yeah, I think that was the gist of our recommendation. We had some discussion about that in between now and the time we issued the report, and you actually brought up the good point of the potential cost of infrastructure maintenance associated with solid waste. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering if in all the data sets that you have and that DOE has, is whether or not solid waste-related information would be in there to answer that question.
Yeah, and so as I go through these steps, I'm starting pretty broad, and we'll be narrowing down. The process is intended to narrow sort of the world, the realm of possibility. And this particular step that I'm discussing is identifying, you know, typical pollutants and typical sources of pollution and runoff. So, again, this is just sort of a review of the data and say what might we expect to find in runoff. The answer to the question is solid waste, debris, or litter, as I call it, part of those studies? It will be no, because we and none of the other permittees in Washington have been studying litter. It wasn't on the list of things, the 150 things we had to look at. Litter wasn't one of them. So as we go through this step and we identify these pollutants and typical sources, again, we're going to be sort of narrowing, and I think you'll see later this sort of data gap-filling step is in here when we say we don't have that information right now.
Okay.
And then to address, you know, some of the cost implications and particularly looking at broader restoration activities of watersheds, in my opinion, that is outside the scope of what the board has asked us to do. They've asked us to look at a way to more closely tie our rate structure on polluters and behavior that landowners or anyone, could be a lessee, may be doing that's impacting pollutants and runoff. Ultimately, the costs come into it as well, but broader scale watershed restoration isn't necessarily part of the scope.
Are there any examples around the state of jurisdiction doing what we're attempting to do?
Yeah, I mean, there are rate structures. There are different rate structures in every jurisdiction, which we will draw on. We will look at those. One of the things we're going to look for is, are there specific polluter fee type of instruments that people are using? And don't know yet. I haven't seen many, but we don't know yet.
We identified other jurisdictions that are real similar to Clark County as far as geography and demographics and all that.
Yeah. I mean, that's the counties, the large counties in the state that have the same permit that we have are very similar to us. And most of them use pretty much the same rate structure that we have today.
I wonder if you could clarify that as we know, the Board of Commissioners wanted to include a fee for newspapers for the rate. So if that is what they, you know, were considering as part of the necessary fees to have to provide the funding to make sure we have this solid waste of basically newspapers and papers and contaminants and things like that. Why do you now feel that is beyond the scope of what they were asking you to do?
Yeah, and I don't think I said that. Gary, I think what I was saying was that looking at broader watershed restoration and activities that we might need to take on for restoring watersheds generally is outside the scope. It's different when we're looking at individual pollutants and individual polluters and fee mechanisms that we might be able to use to align our rate structure with those behaviors that are causing pollution problems or increasing our costs. And so we are definitely including solid waste and litter more broadly in this analysis.
Okay.
We will address that. And again, I mean, just to go back to the portion of the objective that I talked about, you know, equitable, defensible, and feasible will be a review of everything we propose. So if we propose a newspaper fee, we need to make sure it's equitable, defensible, and feasible.
Okay, I just want to make sure that concern of the commission.
Absolutely. I would never ignore the concern of a commissioner or counselor. So after we do this sort of broad review of pollutants and typical sources of pollution, we'll go through an exercise of more clearly defining or identifying potential polluters. And again, that's an exercise of literature reviews. There's a lot of information out there on typical sources of pollution, typical activities, and where they come from, examples being there's a lot of zinc and copper and runoff in certain land use activities. Sources of zinc are pretty well known. I mean, one of the the biggest sources of zinc are metal roofs. I mean, that's probably the main source of zinc in runoff. That's something that's been well established, and we wouldn't need to go test runoff from metal roofs throughout Clark County to show that. Copper is another example that really comes from a lot of different places, but brake pads and has been identified and vetted as a source in runoff because of our roads. I mean, the state has even banned copper in brake pads that are made and sold now, but we know that there's a lot of copper in brake pads. So this, the next step in the process will be sort of linking pollutants and the typical sources to polluters, because that's sort of the process. Can we identify polluters? So that, again, that'll be more of a book report exercise, and I think we should get through that around February.
Is there anything you need from
us? And that's a good question. Sort of more broadly, I envision through this process from January through June of doing this study and preparing a report of routinely updating and involving the Clean Water Commission every time you guys have a meeting and sharing information through staff reports that Earl prepares. So, yeah, I think we'll involve you guys all along the way and communicate.
Thank you.
Do you know when that law was passed about the copper and the brake pad?
I can find it and get back to you. I don't. Recently, in the last few years.
Like 2008 or model cars between, after that? Because I know that they're using a lot of carbon fiber and Teflon now in brake pads.
It's mostly in brake pads that are manufactured now, so I don't think it's illegal to have brake pads on your car that have copper in them. It's just in the manufacturing of them, it's been banned. And it's definitely been the last 5 or 6 years.
It's not just brake pads, though. It's coming off tires.
Oh, yeah.
What's coming off tires?
Copper.
Copper?
Yes.
And the zinc in metal roofs, that's toxic?
Can be.
Yeah. And it's generally in a more dissolved form. It's not solid in particulate matter. And it's the dissolved form that is tough to treat. That's what a lot of industry is struggling with right now, on both sides of the river.
I lost many goldfish in my cattle trough from that took the runoff from the farm roof. Knew something was good for the goldfish.
I moved
it.
Might be zinc. So again, we're kind of narrowing this process. We've got pollutants. We've got typical sources of polluters. We'll have, we'll go through an attempt to identify polluters in some way. Could be land use activities. Could be certain types of permits. Could be a whole host of things. But we're going to have to narrow that down. And then the next step will be to evaluate methods. What are the potential methods for allocating a fee to polluters? Again, always keep in mind, what are my words? Equitable, defensible, and feasible. But one thing we'll do is just sort of a broad net cast on potential methods that we found from other jurisdictions that we think we have the authority or we have statutory authority or we have the ability to create on our own as a county. There's a wide range of what those things could be, everything from, fees on dumpsters and solid waste compactors. So as we start to touch on this litter issue, one of the things that we're seeing, and I'll give you as an example, is we do business visits. We provide a technical assistance to businesses on reducing pollution from their sites and from their activities, source control, pollution prevention, whatever you want to call it. We spend a lot of time looking at compactors and dumpsters. We see a lot of problems with how they're handled, how they're covered, how things are stored, materials spilling out from them and blowing around and ending up in their stormwater systems as well as ours. And one of the things we're looking at is potentially using the fees to have a large dumpster or a compactor on their site to fund some of the activities that we have to engage in to check them, things like that.
Are you including, when you're looking at this broad range, also the ease and the efficient way to collect the fees and to charge them?
Yeah, we'll have to do that. And with our...
It's not going to cost us more than what we're going to get in, obviously.
Well, we'll definitely need to look at that.
Yeah.
And see. And again, it has to be equitable, too. We can't pick on people. So, that's one example. We're looking at, things... capital facilities charges on new development because they give us a lot of water, give us a lot of work. Potentially potentially car licensing fees, and we'll also look at different ways to implement our rate structure. I mean, right now we have, you know, single-family residential units that pay a certain fee, and larger rural properties pay a certain fee. As an example, I've seen from other jurisdictions, and I think King County does this, they have more of a land intensity, a land development intensity fee, so it's more based on what portion of your total parcel size has been developed and is impervious. Okay.
Oh, ratio.
Like a ratio.
Yeah.
And so you have to look at, you know, to your point, Susan, do we have the data to do this relatively efficiently? You know, we have to do this for 60 to 70,000 properties countywide, so we can't go out and measure everything. We have to have the data, whether it's in our geographic information system or something like that, to see whether we can figure that ratio out, and would that be more equitable than what we currently have? I mean, that's a good question. Those are the types of things that we'll have to explore when we get into this method development and review. And once we identify the methods, particularly getting to the defensible part, that's where we bring in a recommendation from the commission, and that's to do a data gap analysis. Where do we have the data to support these methods that we're proposing? Or where don't we, more importantly, so then we would perform that gap analysis and fill data gaps as necessary. If we're not proposing anything that looks at particular activities or sources of, say, litter, we may not need to do that solid waste stream analysis in runoff or in our stormwater system. But if we are proposing something like that, we're going to need to do that study.
What will you do different than what we did, what the commission did in September?
What will we do differently?
Data gap analysis.
Well, I'm not sure that you guys looked at the breadth of the data that we had in stormwater characterization monitoring for local data and the integrated Western Washington data. And I think we will be able to do a broader literature review of data that we think, of reports and studies that we think would be defensible. I think we have access to more information. I think our review would be more thorough.
I know Earl Broad has done a great job of bringing in.
Yeah, but I would imagine that we did a 35,000 foot flyover. You know, you're going to be getting pretty granular.
Yep.
In terms of what I expect that you'll find.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what
I think it's just a further extension.
Yeah,
but it's the same framework. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing you guys went through on the data gap and fill those gaps. I just don't know. I don't know what studies we may need to try and tackle at this point. Because it really kind of depends on what we find and also the methods that we think are feasible.
So following or preceding the initial presentation to the counselors in spring, do you expect that there will be any public process?
Yeah. So once we do this, once we evaluate these methods, we will, you know, internally, and I think with the help of this commission, identify, you know, recommended methods for assessing the fee. I mean, that's ultimately the distillation of everything that we do will come down into a proposal. It'll be that recommendation, a proposed rate structure, and that's where we would gather and consider stakeholder input. And how we do that yet is also to be determined. Ultimately, you know, identifying a path forward and will involve the Board of County Councilors. So what we would envision after that would be submitting a report to them saying, here are our recommendations. We have gathered and considered stakeholder input on these recommendations. We may hold work sessions, which are public meetings, to get their feedback. I imagine we would. And then, you know, we would have to hold a hearing on formal consideration of any of the recommendations that we put forward. That will have to happen regardless, because the way the ordinance was written last year was that they need to take action and through ordinance either adopt a new rate structure or say that they're not going to adopt a rate structure through a resolution. And if they don't do that, the fees that they adopted last year sunset and we revert back to the previous rate structure. So if the board doesn't take action in July of 2015, we go back to the old rate structure. So they have to do something.
Okay.
And that would be an open public process as well. It would have to be through hearing. So that's the path we're heading down. You know, we have, you know, how we're going to do communications. We have some assumptions that we will validate. I mean, an underlying assumption of the board's direction to us was that the current clean water fee rate structure is inequitable. I mean, that's the underlying assumption. We're gonna test that, and we'll see. And we'll make a recommendation to them on whether the work that we've done, we think it actually is inequitable, and or whether we don't. But, you know, validating the assumptions all along the way are going to be important as well. So that's definitely on our radar. So that's the rough process. You know, again, I think we're looking at getting something to the board, conducting work sessions and hearings all throughout June, because it's a one-year time frame from their board from the ordinance adoption in 2014, which was July 8th. So all this has to happen by July 8th, or we have a funding problem.
Will that be just commission conducting public hearings?
No, those will be hearings of the board.
The board.
Mm-hmm. But throughout, between now and June, as we develop this process, I imagine at every meeting you guys have, this will be an agenda item. I mean, it's up to you guys.
And we have a working team, which I think will continue.
I imagine so.
So, and these are public meetings as well, so it's part of the public process.
I think this particular group has an outstanding opportunity to weigh in,
mm-hmm.
going through this process, and being that initial sounding board to help make sure that nothing gets through the system that could cause maybe quite some of the furor that occurred last time around. And weigh a little bit more. So, any other questions for Ron?
Thanks, Rod, for coming and
yeah, I'll stick around. Sure. And feel free to contact me anytime if you have further input on kind of how we're going to go about doing things. And I will definitely share. I'll get this to Earl, and he can send it around our draft project work plan or charter, as we call it. So.
Well, I'd like to note that I think that generally what was proposed as a fee structure was acceptable, except that, for instance, the print media were, you know, campaigning against having a per publication issue fee on them. And so, I mean, it wasn't like it was totally bad. It was just that mainly one solid waste contention, which I believe that when we go out and start, you know, giving public hearings and stuff, that we're going to have the data, the backup, and the support to make sure that we can explain and justify that to the public when we do that.
Yep.
And that's the reason I was asking you those questions, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think we'd have to do that for anything we propose. So if we propose, you know, a car fee, for example, on car licensing, there will probably be a lot of people who will want to know the connection. And we would need to provide
work on top of Battleground, because Battleground just recommended a $20 annual fee for additional money to help pay for revenue.
Right. So just as they had to justify that, we'll have to justify that as well. If we propose it, it's just in the realm of possibility.
So when do you expect your studies to be completed?
Right now we're thinking of getting to the point of identifying a recommended method and doing the gathering stakeholder input in May.
Okay. Well, the next schedule.
And then getting back to the board with a recommendation in June so they can take action end of June.
The next scheduled meeting for this group, assuming nothing in the interim, would be first of March. So I guess the question is, would you expect to have materials for this group to review and discuss at our March meeting?
Yeah, we should be through the process of identifying pollutants, typical sources of pollution, and polluters by the end of February.
Okay, so
we
then
can report back on that.
Plan as an agenda item for March, maybe a particularly important agenda item, reviewing the material that's available at that particular point as well. Is that reasonable?
No, absolutely. You've already identified the task team to start putting together the public presentations. You need that data to do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. The last question is probably let him go have his dinner.
Well, I'm going to stick around.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Where are we?
Not in a cardboard box, as you
can 12 hours today.
All right.
Going for a test drive?
No other questions for Ron? Good. Thank you very much, Ron. And we shall move on. Next item on the agenda is our proposed Clean Water Commission annual report. Each of you, I think, got a copy by email, and Bobby just handed out a hard copy in case you didn't bring that with you. And so what I wanted to do was take a few minutes and see if there's anything from your notes or that just stands out that you in particular would like to make sure that we either change, look at, alter, modify, or otherwise address. The intention would be get this wrapped up as soon as possible, ideally this week, so that we can start moving into the submission process to the county councilors. I just like commissioners better. Councilors just has a political connotation that bothers me. I know, it's on the record, so sure.
I know I sent back a lot of comments in yellow, with red letters on. And was there any, you know, because we don't have, you know, an engineer or a copy here that shows revision tracking and changes and things?
No,
like
just
that.
Just on my computer with all the versions as I read through them.
Was there any comments that you received that you did not incorporate?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I took everything everybody gave me, whether it was wording changes, order changes, and other stuff, spelling corrections. Just from a structural standpoint, just to be clear, I'd ask Earl and Bobby to provide some examples of some past reports that seem to be comprehensive in their structure, kind of a flow and a format. And so this is an attempt to incorporate some of that in there. There was one additional comment that was perhaps the on the very first page, the CCWC doesn't necessarily need to be there. I'm fine with that. It's hard to hurt my feelings, okay? So if there are other changes, if anything stands out that you want to make sure are incorporated, I certainly would open the floor right now to any such comments.
Well, I don't have any suggestions for changes, but I want to please publicly acknowledge you for the effort that you went through and in getting our input prior to this meeting. I think it's important, at least from my perspective as I was looking at this and I was talking to you earlier, that this is a document that isn't just for the councilors themselves, although they're the ones that have to really act upon it, but it's really for the public because this is a document that is posted for public consumption. So by providing some additional detail on what was discussed during the course of the year, the decisions that were made, and the forward plan like you presented, I think it's a nice detailed document, but not that detailed that people would lose their interest, but hopefully would bring them to this document. So I just want to express my appreciation for your effort.
If you've incorporated all of the changes, and we've all had our swing at this thing. Would you entertain a motion that we just accept this?
Could I get one last comment? Some of the wiring is super nitpicky, but I think I didn't look this way. I looked at my computer screen, but on the last page, it looks like the arrows should have went between the boxes, but they actually cover up words.
Oh.
Yeah, something got a little missed there.
If you
need the original source file on that,
probably would help. I did a copy.
So something the formatting messed up.
Okay, mm-hmm. I used Word on one computer and I used LibreOffice Writer on another computer. So it is possible that they didn't totally talk to each other.
It was a SmartArt graphic, so. Maybe I can make it into a
PDF or something.
Make it into an image or a GIF file.
Sure, whatever. Yeah, if you would, then that's a good point. I honestly had not even paid attention to the.
That's a kind of small formatting problem. Could we entertain a motion to accept the content? And
do you have a motion?
Done. All you have to do is reformat that.
Well, I just want to make sure everybody can any additional input.
Do you have a motion?
I have a motion. I make a motion that we accept the report content, accepting the minor formatting challenge, and we accept this report and pass it forward for review by the county board.
So we have a motion by Commissioner Schaefer that the
second.
Report. We have a second by Commissioner Wheeler. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any dissension? No, then the report, except for any formatting revision to change, is accepted. effective the 7th day of January of 2015. Thank you very much. And thank you for everybody who
thank you.
Had time to give
feedback. Definitely, David's comments. Thank you so much, Chairman Brennander, for your fine work on putting this report together.
Just a point of clarification, you are going to reformat it and send it to us for the process.
That's correct. And they will triple check spelling, et cetera, to make sure there's nothing else that's goofy in there. And hopefully we didn't leave any wording out this time around or misstate something. So, you know, just by swimming in air. So, one of the things I was trying for was some degree of brevity. This is sort of about a 20,000-foot view. I didn't want to get into a lot of detail. Earl had given an example of one report several years ago, which was an outstandingly great report, but it was also a small book. And so I didn't really want to go there. One of the things that was in one of the drafts I sent you was, I plugged in as an appendix last year's report. And then the question again, sort of why, if the county counselors want to look at that, they can go back to the record and look at it. So I just cut a few more pages of stuff out of it.
Okay. One thing I particularly appreciated is the fact that anybody, the county commissioners, one of the commissioners is going to look at this thing and go, what can I do? How does this help me do my job better? This information I have. Or what maybe can we propose that will leverage this information into a continuation of public good? And I thought the brevity that you put in there and the content that you put in there was outstanding, because if you write in a book, it's pretty hard to do that. If you write in a salient report, well, it's much easier for them to do that.
Little sidestep here. Bobby had asked me, she's wanted to ask whether there was anything in particular that we needed for this year. And one of the things I was discussing with her was the possibility of, I pick up a larger binder, because I prefer to keep as much stuff as I can. Those of you who've been on the commission would have a binder about 6 feet thick, so I understand. But I suggested to her that maybe just another January through December set of tabs, and then I could pop them right in here and just do 2015 and keep the set for 2014. Are there any other materials or things that staff can provide you that would give assistance?
Well, we'll provide you the binders and your notebooks for this year.
Okay. All right. So the next item on the agenda is project team assignment. So I get everybody to give me their first, second, third choices. Thank you for doing that. And I made every attempt possible. It was interesting, from a general feedback, the least popular choice, or the third most popular choice, how's that? I think it's a positive. The third most popular choice was Swamp. And then the group that David had led this last time, and then the outreach and discussion group, those two were the first and the second choices in general. So I still worked with that and made some executive decisions in certain cases. So I'd like to hand out to you the proposed list of committee assignments.
We can share one.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So if you take a look at that, then I'd like to take a couple of minutes to discuss and
Oh,
sorry.
No.
Sorry. And discuss and hopefully come to agreement on sort of some guidelines for how this is going to work. Because I believe in having a good process and structure wherever possible to help us through. So at this particular point, the existing Clean Water Fee Group, trying to keep three people as a target in each group, since we'll have nine commissioners. We're still commissioners, and we're not counselors. So. Yeah, not yet.
And I would say, given Ron's report, that there's going to be more interaction, at least in the first 6 months of this.
I would expect that,
this topic. So, you know, our frequency of additional meetings is really going to be driven by the calendar that Ron just presented to us.
Both as a group, as a team, and as a group collectively,
yes.
Certainly. And as when you looked at the annual report for last year, you noticed that we actually met, with a couple of exceptions, almost every month during the year, which, thank you, that was a tremendous commitment, and I know sometimes in the travel is pulling deep or family events and so forth, but we'll do everything we can to stick to the every other month, understanding that occasionally we may need to put those in. So one of the original questions was whether that Clean Water Fee Group, you know, really would have a place moving forward. So, David, to your point, I agree at least through the first 6 months. And
yeah, or at least till July 8th.
Yes, well, so it's there. So, and as everybody knows, you know, Jim, who's not been able to be here this evening, has been the sort of the leader on the swamp side of things. And so, Rob, if you're willing, and of course we have the vacant person we can plug in there. They come on board, so we'll have a place to put them. And then on the education and outreach, Melanie actually listed this one as her first choice, as did I. Susan, it wasn't your first choice, but you've been not only around this for very long and given presentations in the past and know lots of people, that if you're willing.
Sure. Well, yeah, I'll probably be an update later, but I've been doing outreach anyway this last month.
Okay. So, we can certainly adjust as if somebody has a particular challenge with the suggested assignments at this particular point, I'm happy to discuss those. Otherwise, I would ask to consider giving them a shot. How does it work? These are just my thoughts. I'm going to open the floor up, but just to outline, it seems to me that in order for this to work well, that each of the groups needs to take ownership of their piece and figure out how it needs to look and feel and work and establish the goals and the objectives and the timing and the measurement tools, et cetera. And then on a regular basis, i.e. at least at the standard meetings every other month, report back to the group. So, and that probably is verbal plus some sort of at least a basic written something to drop into the record, which really makes it much easier for us to prepare our report for next year as we do all of that, but gives us an opportunity to have detailed understanding of some of the in-depth work that each of the teams has been doing. That's sort of what I was attempting to outline there. Is that reasonable? Would you change something? Would you add something?
My only concern is this. I mean, this is Jim's baby, this whole swamp project, and I'd be a really good soldier, but I can't take this on, and I didn't know what his status was stepping down, and then, I don't know.
Well, you weren't here to that. He was here at the last meeting. He said that he is, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understood in the meeting, he said that his personal issues had pretty well settled out. His time was generally going to be available. We were expecting him this evening. He said he would be. And so he said he stepped back from the chair position just because he had other things going on. He just didn't feel that he could do that work in addition. So, but he made it very clear at the last meeting that he is absolutely 100% committed in this.
Well, okay, that's fine. Well, I'll reach out to him offline then and see what we can get established so 2 months down the road by before we just get started.
Absolutely, because I think it is key to exactly that point, that each of the groups set up your arrangements for communications and, you know, not wait till a week before the next meeting to get everything going. So, yeah, I'll assist as well. Rob will stimulate the process. But
thanks.
Is there anything anybody else would change or modify sort of in general?
I would suggest that at the first meeting that the teams have, that they elect somebody to be the coordinator or the task team leader or something like that, so that we kind of have a focus. That's my suggestion, is that we need to elect a task team leader.
We can certainly formalize that, or we can let each group decide how.
Well, for my part, I'm still willing to take the lead and be the point,
sure,
point man on that. And what I will do is, once I receive the information from Ron, develop a plan that is in alignment with their delivery process, and follow up with some of these guidelines. So I'll develop a
forward
plan here.
That methodology is a great methodology for all three of these teams.
Okay. So, acceptable in outline?
So Jim will be the lead for this round?
Jim will be, well, yes, we will assume yes.
Yeah,
Jim,
he can default to that.
Default
is
the lead. And I'm you know, Melody and Susan, we can talk.
I would defer to Susan and you, since Susan's got much more experience than I do, and you have much more experience board than I do, so either one of you.
You don't have the answer right now. We can talk. I can do this and other things, whatever. Then perhaps one of us will sort of be the lead there.
Okay.
Or we can co-lead.
I'll be in. Yeah,
two leaders and one Indian.
Exactly.
All right, anything else on this topic at the moment? No? Then we shall move on. Next item is the responsibilities of the Clean Water Commission. You notice back in the annual report, sort of looking forward, I took the opportunity to get from Earl the wording for 13.308.040 and pulled that up. The reason I stuck it in this, and I'd like to bring it up for discussion this evening, is that looking back at what the core expectations or responsibilities of this group are, as originally outlined. The question is have we been in 2014, did we deliver on what is expected of us? That's a question. And obviously I raise the question because just personally looking at it as a new commission member who's coming up on 1 year, as several of us are, I'm not sure that I think maybe we gripped it away or lost some focus. The groups, the three teams we have, I think are all parts of this, but I'm going to suggest to you that, from my point of view, that I think that we need to go back and sort of look at this more closely and make sure that, at a minimum, we are delivering on the core expectations from the group. And if you go through and look at those pieces, as they're outlined, is program service levels, which I'm not sure we spent a lot of time on, financing. And sort of financing, I guess, to some degree is the polluter fee type of thing, but is that maybe just a piece of the...
That's not the same.
So, policies on surface and stormwater issues and effective stormwater management program. So it seems to me that we have an opportunity to sort of go back and look at the roots, what we're really supposed to be delivering on, and spend some time at each of our meetings actually focusing in these particular areas, which means that we would have to plan ahead to make sure that we're getting the materials and the information we have with our appropriate pre-meeting study so that we come and we can have discussions about what's happening and what we think should be done or could be done better. That's what I just want to get it out on the table, to see if people agreed or disagreed with my sort of assumption, presumption that maybe we could do a little better job of focusing on our deliverables.
Could you be more specific about what you're talking about off on?
Well, on those four items, I pulled that are down below, the program service levels, the financing policies on surface and stormwater issues, and effectiveness of the stormwater management program. Those are verbatims that are pulled out of here. So I guess when I look at those, how much time at our many meetings in 2014 did we spend talking about program service levels?
So I have a question along these lines. I don't know if you can tell me if this is not the right place to interject this, but from my perspective, I think you're completely right that we missed the mark. That was our target, that we didn't do a lot of that. But as an example, as a topic that took up an inordinate amount of time was the whole school district fee waiver thing. And from my perspective, and I'm not trying to ditch responsibility, it seemed like that was so far outside the scope of what we did. The decision was pre-programmed that we really didn't have any impact whatsoever, and we didn't end up then doing lots of things that we really should be doing, talking about an issue that we have really no say on whatsoever.
So,
and that's just my perspective.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it was until after July, actually.
We had at least one special meeting, and this was the beginning of my frustrations. We went through a whole special meeting, which I was taking furious notes, and at the end of the special meeting, the motion was made to do nothing. Well, we could have not had a meeting to do nothing. And it just seemed like, and it just seemed like the fix was in with the board. This is what was going to happen was going to happen, and it really, we didn't really have a say. So I'm fine with doing as many extra meetings or whatever, but I want to feel like I'm
doing
contributing
something.
And adding to.
I absolutely understand.
That triggered something. I saw a shift in the way that we conduct business from that point forward.
For good or bad or what?
Depends on how you look at it, you know. It was a shift. That's how you perceive it, Ron? That whole thing, because before this, I considered this school district as a cohort in educating, helping us do our job, and a big part of our assignment in the permit is educating the public. And we don't have a lot of cohorts out there, and the schools are one of them. And I hate to lose that relationship.
Oh, I agree, and I don't feel like no matter what we would have done, it would have mattered at the end of the day. It's my perception.
Right. I don't think we had a voice in that. So I think there was a shift in how we think.
Yes. The kids were well educated too at the fourth grade level. I helped with some of that. So I know, and you know, fourth grade kids go home and they educate their folks. They do a good job too, because it's very impressive to them.
So your concern was that, as a particular example, that we sort of maybe got sidetracked and
right,
we either diverted or we never returned to the or whatever.
To some degree, we took up a huge chunk of the commission's time on something either we had no business on, or there's some kind of fundamental disconnect that whatever we said didn't really matter, because it seemed like it was kind of all of a sudden on the very next meeting a whole different solution was proposed and moved forward with, and okay, maybe that's the right way of things, but then we shouldn't have wasted two whole meetings on it, is my perception.
From my recollection is that we had the hearings, so the place was packed, manning crowds. It came down to the decision of Director of Environmental Services that, or maybe it was job description or whatever it is, that it was his decision whether or not to waive that fee or not based on his job assignment from the court. And therefore, the time, you're absolutely right, Rob, the time we spent, you know, holding the hearings and taking the inputs and all that stuff came down to basically a usurping of the decision by the director to do what he saw as his mandate from the commission and then make the decision on whether or not he was going to offer those fee waivers
to
schools.
And that's my only point, is we should have had, you know what, ultimately it's Director Benton's decision, and we would love to help you, but we can't.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, we did, I mean, that was something new, you know, I think we're all.
Yes, and it was important that the school districts, that we give them the respect to their
fees. Sure, yeah.
And this would have been the correct venue to do that. So we kind of had to, I felt like we had to allow that to happen.
Well, we didn't really have a choice.
Yeah, we didn't. So.
Well, okay, then I would respectfully say that we should say it's our obligation as public servants to hear you out. Just know that what you say here is public record, but we really don't have any ability to affect the change that you're looking for.
Yeah. Well, in all things, that we are an advisory group, right? I mean, we are an advisory. We don't make policy. We may influence policy.
Sure.
We don't make budgets. We may influence budgets, et cetera. Positions, but we are an advisory group. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I don't disagree at all.
I know.
I had conversations during this past year with several members of this group about the topic of, do people feel that the time and effort that they're putting in has value and results? Does that mean? Because if it isn't, then people's interest levels drop off very quickly. And for me, it's critical that people feel that what they do makes a difference, that there is value, and that they can participate and have some impact. I absolutely understand it. And so by bringing this whole topic up and trying to answer Garrett as well, going back and looking at it, what I said the mandate for this group, that statehood is, I think it's worth, in 2015, taking a closer look at that and making sure that as a core focus that we are delivering on the things that we are tasked with providing feedback and input on. It doesn't mean that we can't, shouldn't do other things and take other projects and everything else, but sort of there's that core. That's
also,
what I'm suggesting.
Also a buffer between the citizens out there.
Sure.
And the Board of Counselors.
And yeah, that's right. Exactly the point. There will be times where the board is looking for us to take either some heat or to take, you know, yeah, you're right, to be a buffer in between. You know? But the public also wants to say that we want another way of getting at the county councilors. We want another doorway to try to get our input into this as well.
I think we have an obligation to hear and listen to their concerns. It is frustrating because we couldn't handle it. I still feel poorly over how they were treated, actually. How could we do that differently if we're confronted with that situation again? I don't know. Maybe a discussion.
Well, let me just get your opinion on that, because I do respect your tenure here. To hear them out fully would have required a second meeting. I mean, we could have given them one whole regular meeting, but then we had another 2-hour special meeting and still unable to help them. I mean, how much is required of us to give someone a fair hearing?
Can I ask Bart to join in on this discussion?
No. Why? Well, no, actually, he's a member of the public. No.
Okay. Well,
there's no right or wrong. I truly want your opinion. What is, if that's what we should have done, then okay. But I'm new to this, and that seems like a lot just to hear them out if we couldn't actually help.
I think that right now, It's the elephant in the room is the political climate towards Midori and the others. It makes it difficult for people in our position, whether you like them or not, to really go forward because of a perceived type of, I think we all have our own preconceived notions of Midori and Miami, and then papers put it in. and we all have our ideas and what they may or may not say. And that right there puts a wedge in between all communications. And then on top of it, how Mr. Benton was appointed to the position created another wedge. And the demeanor of them, which is just the natural demeanor, does not help. So we've got all these things going up against us and them, and it is incumbent on us to let the public know, even though there are these perceived notions, which may not be true, we are here to listen, and we will continue to share our opinions with Midori, Markey, and Benton, regardless of what happens or their opinions towards us.
That's correct. But Rob, how about if we make a conscious commitment moving forward to try to make sure that we're giving a fair amount of time to any person or group of people on a topic that relates to the work assigned to this particular group, that we try to do it in as economic manner as possible so that we will attempt, for instance, if there is something special like that, if it can be done at one plan in the meeting, that the information can be released to the public, that on this day and time we will hear testimony or listen to on a particular topic, we'll attempt to do a better job of not.
I'm not even arguing that how that played out. I'm just analyzing as it relates to the topic that you brought up. Did we get derailed off our core mission? Mm-hmm. And I'm asking the question, as being new to all this, was that a possible derailment?
Well, I let me preface this. I think we owe the school district some respectability, and I think we owed them that time, and they deserve to be listened to.
Susan, do you feel like we were disrespectful to them?
You talking as a group or in a larger
county? No, as our commission, when we were taking our hearings, were we disrespectful to those people?
I feel we were disrespected in not giving a heads up in what was coming.
But we were disrespected?
Yeah.
Okay. But that we didn't disrespect them?
No, I felt like...
But I agree with you on that. We were disrespectful.
I felt like we should have been given a heads up on this shift in policy.
Yeah, I
have some discussion.
I appreciate this discussion and what we're discussing here, but I think we're really getting in the weeds on a particular issue that I think may be more symptomatic of the environment at that time. But I'd like this discussion to move forward, and how can we take that experience that we had and apply that to these three topical areas moving forward so that we can create a more tangibly, visibly productive environment moving forward, regardless of who the party is.
I think
school district or whomever.
Right.
So
we need to re-examine and refocus on what our charter is and what our expected results are, and move forward this year and not make sure we learn from our past experience, but move forward and keep our eyes focused on the targets that we're supposed to. And I think that's probably replaying the whole thing probably is not really worth it. There's nothing to do with it. So let's just move forward, taking what we've learned and keeping ourselves focused on the target.
I have something to share later, and it concerns the process. When we have a citizen out there that's been harmed, and it considers the process that we go in with the reset and all of that, and you're right, it speaks to that process. And I'm in the thick of it again but that collaboration with the citizens is, I think that could be very well our biggest job.
I would agree.
I guess what I'd like to propose is that as we move forward for our agendas for the meetings for this year, that we work on trying to make sure that we are addressing the key aspects of our charge, to make sure that we are staying on top of those things. I think if we do those, plus the working groups that we have, I think 2015 could be a productive year from value, and could give us all a better sense of accomplishment and participation. It would just be a positive. So, but I wanted to bring it up because I don't want to be overly presumptive on the direction to take things, but I think that there is a great opportunity in going sort of back to the basics, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I really want to get on the table. Does anybody disagree with that or have any concerns?
I don't. And I think it's good that you brought this to everybody's attention. I just wanted to make one comment as I look at these three bulleted items. I think that there's like this ebb and flow. And this is in my first year here on the commission, that, you know, there's an ebb and a flow, I think, to all of these types of issues. I know that as I first joined the commission last year, we had representatives on two different task forces, external staff task forces, to address the approval of the new stormwater management plan at that point in time, as I recall, in my fading memory. But that we were asked to be involved in that. That was that preceded my coming on board. But that's gone away. That process is over.
But, it's
coming back. Right. It's going to circle back again. So that's what I mean, that some of these things get cyclical and we'll go in and we'll come out. So we're kind of like plug and play on some of these types of topical issues. There are other opportunities, like we've taken on SWAMP as an example, where we can take the leadership position and create this as a new opportunity, a new area of growth for the clean water program as well. So it kind of works both ways. And I think we have to recognize that ebb and flow and the dynamic nature of our involvement in each one of these issues.
Well, this is the budget piece is maybe more concentrated in a certain portion of the year than
right.
others, et cetera, to your sort of ebb and flow. Mm-hmm. Gary?
I believe that. Saying, you know, here's our commission responsibilities in our charter to do these things like finance and the other things in here is like flag waving and apple pie. It sounds good and it looks good, but without a specific vision and objective for each one of those items, we feel like we're errant and we're not going to. We can't, I don't think. When it comes to 2016, we can look back and say that we were on target. Unless you have a specific target for each one of those items for us to accomplish, I think we're going to be veering off the path.
I couldn't agree with you more, Commissioner Schaefer. I think that was probably our biggest challenge. I don't think we had hardly any measurable, specific, smart kind of goals that
right.
we were trying
and
to
we need to be. Exactly. It needs to be specific. Measurable, and it needs to be defined.
Well, if you'll allow me to use the example of the formation of the three teams and outlining the types of things that they need to do, including specific goals and tasks and timing and everything else, I would suggest to you that conceptually my plan, my vision, if you will, in going back to those core items would do exactly that.
Oh, I completely agree. I think we're on a much better track from this date, from the first one a year ago. Had we had a meeting like this, I would have had a lot better.
Right now. We had five new people, you know, and so I think we lived a lot and learned a lot and did a lot, and I think that the outcome was pretty good as shown by our annual report. So I think that there was nobody in our commission here who was dragging their feet or initially trying to divert.
I don't mean to fix blame, but just to Mr. Ryan's point that we need to do as best we possibly can going forward.
Yeah,
well, it needs to be clearly defined.
And I think we all want that. And I don't think there's anybody who doesn't want that. I'm just saying targets and he's saying, well, we're our division of the teams, the team task responsibility will give us
that. It's part of that, but I guess I will make a commitment that we will take those core items and define what will be done, when it will be done by, whether it's cyclical or et cetera, so that we have a clear vision of where we're going, what's anticipated when. Because from my standpoint as well, every one of you is busy. Some of you are very busy, and you've got to plug all this in. And so you need to know sort of what we're going to be expecting to do and when so that you can plan ahead for it. I appreciate that. And so from a sort of a leadership type of idea, I would hope to show that we can do those things. That's the goal. When we get to the end of the year, you can either hoist me on my own petard, or you can say, you know, we got reasonably close. All right? Any other discussion? So we're okay if I have your approval to move forward and carve out specifics and timings and so forth, and
yes,
make sure those are on the agenda.
Thank you. Please do.
Thank you. Moving on. Next item on the agenda is the alterations in the bylaws that we discussed at our December meeting.
This is what we intended to do. It was a conversation about trying to align the timing and the terms of the commissioners with the calendar year. What happened was, when we started this program, and I think Art and Susan both know this, what happened was in 2000, people were appointed. Some people were appointed to a one-year term, some people were appointed to a two-year term, but the maximum was 3 years, 36 months. That's still in code today. So what happened back then was the appointments occurred basically by February, put in place by the end of February, and going forward. And that particular pattern has stayed in even until today. At the last meeting, it was suggested, for several meetings, it was suggested that we change that. We don't have the February to March, or in this case, it's flipping all the way from March to February. We get away from that. And what we should be looking at is basically some kind of a pattern that would be basically from January to December. And that would be in line with the county process, the county budget, the county overall performances, actions, and activities. So the goal was to look at that and see how do we do it. So what we tried to do here, conversations with folks around the room here, conversations with staff, is to come back and say, how do we do this? So in this little staff report that I put together, and more specifically, what the staff report talks about, why we're doing this, what I just explained why we're doing it, how we're going to do it. If we go to the staff or the draft, which is the attachment, which is, in this case, it's the bylaws for the Clean Water Commission, and we kind of scan through what we're talking about, and we drop down to Section 4, which talks about commission organization. There's a new section in here that talks specifically about appointments of commissioners. And what we're striving to do here is to say, we should probably go ahead and make this modification. That is, getting away from February or March start date, getting on to more of a calendar time frame. So there's some language in here, and I don't know if you have a chance to read this or look at it when it was sent out, but I'll just walk you through it. Basically, what we have in Section 4, we have this thing called Item B, Commissioner Appointments. Members of the Commission shall be appointed by the Board for a three-year term. The public notice, the public for vacancy will be issued approximately 90 days prior to the expected vacancy. The notice will be direct candidates to submit an application to the Board's office for consideration. So basically what it's saying is, if we know that there's a vacancy like we have for Brian Peck, we notified the Board immediately upon his vacancy. And in this case, it was basically a 90-day period because he's not going to get appointed now. Whoever's going to be appointed for that vacancy will get appointed, but it will be within the 90-day time frame. In the future, we're talking about, as we know that somebody's going to quit, resign, or leave this group, we'd like to know that as soon as possible. And then we can tell the Board, and you need to tell us, within 90 days, if you can, you know, if you're anticipating leaving within 90 days, whether or not you're going to, so that we can give this information to the Board's office and say, from your bylaws, you're wanting to do this. From your bylaws, you're saying you're going to do this. And also, just a little item in here, about two or three meetings ago, we put in what's called a common courtesy clause. So we know, and we would like for you to tell us, the chair, the vice chair, myself, or Ron, that you're leaving.
So we have a good understanding that you have other obligations you want to do, there's things you want to continue to do, so on and so forth. And then we'll know about that so we can plan for the future. The next one here is called C, which is terms, commission terms. And in this case, we're talking about, except in situations where the members of the commission resign, removed, start January and end in December. Members of the commission filling a vacancy midterm will serve from the time they were appointed to the end of the previously established term. And that gets us down to what is attachment A. And then attachment, and there's one more item in this bylaw, which is under C, excuse me, under D, talks about the chairperson is responsible for the presentation of the commission annual report to the board. In this case, we'll send the board to its council. So let's drop back to what is. Let me go to page 4 for just one more second here. And on page 4, we struck out what is under section 8, meeting structure. We struck out all of G. We inserted another component, which is section 9, which is the annual report. And by December 31st, the commissioner will provide an annual report to the Board of County Commissioners. Basically, what this is saying is the Board of County Commissioners will receive a report at the end of the year, not somewhere in the future. Because in the past, what we've experienced, and I've experienced this, and I think all of you have experienced it, if you've been on this commission for a period of time, oftentimes we write a report that's halfway through the year that we're talking about. So we wouldn't really be presenting an annual report to the commissioners until sometime in June. So why are we talking to them about June when it's already half done? So we're trying to get ahead of the curve to get this information to them as soon as possible. So let's drop down to what is now attachment A on page 6. And attachment A, we're putting in a proposed time frame here. Again, this is proposed. It's up for you guys to decide how you want to pursue this. But basically the intent here is to have an opportunity to go from what is the current situation, which is basically, again, in this case from March through February of the subsequent year for each of these respective terms, and each one's 36-month term. So we're trying to get away from the current process, which is 3 years starting in March, to get to a process that in 3 years will start January 1st and go through December 31st, which means in some cases there will be basically a time where 2 months is going to be cut out of your calendar, out of your 36 months. So that's something that you guys need to think about. But we as staff are looking at this and basically saying that we don't want to really start this until what would be a subsequent year. So in this case, if we proposed, whoever's going to be appointed by the Board of Commissioners will stay the same, but then sometime in the future, the people who are next in line, like in this case, Jim Carlson, Susan Rasmussen, Virginia, so on and so forth, those people would switch from the March time frame to a start of February, January 1, and to continue through 36 months down the road. So that's what we're advocating. Again, for these first nine, for all of you, there's going to be a cutoff point of basically you're not going to have 36 months, you're going to have 34 months. So,
and for what it's worth, Earl and I talked multiple times on the phone, for good or for bad, on the wording, the phrasing, the timing, et cetera, trying to massage it to get it to a point where it made sense based on the discussions we've had at the past meetings on its own. So, questions?
Yeah, I have one question. So the process, if you get to the natural expiration of a commissioner's term, is it a re-interview process, or what? How does that work?
So what happens is if you are going to go through the process right now, I think Commissioner Rylander and Commissioner Schaefer are both going through that process. They have to submit an application back to the board's office, the council's office, and with that, then the council will decide who they want to appoint. They may say, well, we want this person and we don't want this person. And so what happens then at that point, you're not on the commission or you're off the commission. Or you're on the commission or off the commission. And if they want to continue it, then they continue for the term for the next 3 years. The problem that we're running into here is that in some cases, in some shape or form, if we do this, if we implement this process and this process goes forward, we'll have to notify the board's office that there's a modification to be made.
But yes, at the end of a term, it's an open recruitment.
Yeah.
So I guess my only recommendation is that since December is such a crazy month for everyone, but especially government and all the shutdown, if you do that, mm-hmm. it's a natural expiration of someone's term, that process to look, are they in or are they out, for like 120 days, not wait till 90 days,
well,
and then we do that, and then you try to recruit someone. And
the board, as of the latest information that we've gotten from the board's office, or council's office, is that they said 90 days. So if we stick with the 90 days, that would back it up from December all the way to the start of September. So by September.
The notice goes out. So the intention would be that the notice would go out, it would all be done and wrapped up by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think 90 days
to find someone is. I was under the impression that they were just starting the yes or no. Oh, they already made up their mind then. Okay. Then that's
now, just a point of clarification, because I've traded some emails with actually, with Ron, with Earl, with counselors, Medora, and Milky. And there's an... If I understand correctly, it's an open question moving forward on there may be some commission positions or some commissions that are actually chosen by the new county manager.
Acting
manager rather than the counselors. And if I understand correctly, there is sort of a lack of clarity in certain regards at this particular point. They have to sort through some things in the first 6 months of this year on exactly who's going to ultimately do what particular appointments and how they're going to handle. But one way or the other, someone will have made the decision in that time frame for the appointments.
Earl, would you say that, I mean, I see you've done a lot of really good work on this, and thank you so much. This represents the best knowledge of what Commissioner Rylander had submitted originally as baseline proposals. This, what you prepared here, represents the latest and the best knowledge that we have of the situations coming and how we can fill the requests, the issues that you brought up. Okay. Well, I would like to say that I think we should have a motion to just approve these, and if we have, if there's so many decisions now that they're trying to decide between what the county manager is going to do and what the counselors are going to do and this and that, we can readjust this at any time, but at least this will give us some walking papers to work with immediately.
Well, and I think especially because there are some decisions that need to be made as far as division of responsibilities at the council level and above, it's a good time to get this up because that just adds one more thing that they have to be able to consider.
Okay. Do you have a motion on the floor then right now?
Yes, ma'am. I move we accept these proposed revisions to our bylaws tonight.
I second.
Discussion. No discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any disagreement?
Just one clarification in the staff report. I did notice a date that was incorrect in the executive summary. It should say December 3rd, 2014. The staff report for the proposed change of bylaws.
Oh, the December 2014 meeting, yes. That's 2015. Aha, eagle eye. Ahead of us. Eagle
eye.
Oh, there's one
other
on.
Other than that, it's fine.
Page 1, under A, line 23, ranging from large. I think you need rural landowners.
I'm sorry, which
one? Line 23, page 1.
Ranging from large.
Rural
landowners. Land. Property.
Good catch.
Okay, any other?
And in agriculture interest, there should be an F on the line
24.
Line 24.
Interest plural.
Yes.
Any else that stands out? So we had a motion, a second, a third, and unanimous vote to accept, including the amendments on the
on the spelling and dates for the changes to the bylaws. So we will then, of course, notify the county councilors of the change to our bylaws, which, if I understand correctly, is our right to do, and that they will implement. So, you've just changed policy. Big round of applause.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Thanks for the summary.
Yes, thanks to Earl and Dean for getting all that done. Next item is Clean Water Commission participating in interviews with candidates. This is just an item I wanted to bring up for discussion. I may have mentioned to you that last fall, sometime, I interviewed for a position, not leading this, but the Civil Service Commission. They had an opening. And so I got a chance to learn a little about that commission and how they did. And I was interviewed by three of the Civil Commission commissioners, yes, well, any members, along with a representative from the Sheriff's Department and a woman who heads HR, I guess, for Clark County. So there were five people in the room. So we talked for about 30 minutes and they asked their questions. And when I walked out of there, I subsequently had a chat with Earl and said, you know, that's one of the things that stimulated the date change suggestion from January to December for me, because that was more in line with what they were doing. But the fact that they were interviewing potential candidates. So just generated the thought for me, I'd like to just put out on the table, do you believe that there would be value, or what would the pros or cons be, would there be any interest in any of members of this commission participating in, if allowable, if reasonable, if acceptable, and lots of yes, interviewing potential candidates for open positions as they become available? Is there any interest in that? Is there any value in it?
I really think that it would be of huge value. One of the things that we're being able to do, rather than just having the board of commissioners do the interviews, is that we're able to provide a lot more specifics on, you know, what our expectations will be of the new board member, what exactly they will be involved in themselves in, and give us a chance to look at them and see if we believe that they have the commitment necessary to make sure they attend every meeting and accept work assignments and things like that. I think it would be just a huge benefit for us to be able to do that.
What would be the downsides in terms of what our level of responsibility is as an advisory board to the councilors who may ultimately have the final decision?
Any candidates, if this is all workable, there may be other issues that we're not even aware of or addressing, but would those candidates come before this group in its entirety? Or would it come before a small number of people, members of this group? Do they happen during the day? Do they happen during the evening? I mean, there's a time commitment that may be problematic.
I worry that there's going to be too many people involved, too many cooks in the kitchen, such as it is, another layer of government to look at. You get too many people and too many layers, it waters the process down. I see where you're coming from. I think that element would be important towards the final end of the product. Have the people come in or show their interest, be vetted, water it down to the final three candidates, whatever the final amount is, and then invite somebody from the commission to come in and see the final ones, but not in the beginning, because it would take that much time.
Yeah, I agree.
One possible downside is that you slant the picks to the point that it affects the entire feel of the group. In other words, we have a certain ownership, we have a certain point of view, and we may then only like certain candidate or candidates, which may or may not be the most positive. Sometimes the disinterested party from outside, who is looking at it from this level instead of somebody who's dealing at this level. So that there are challenges, time, effort, you know, when in the process if it occurs, etc. And yet, yes, I thought through those things. Yet still the question bring it up to the group, or it's not that you have to act on it right now. I just sort of, if nothing else, want to plant the seed that you need to think about it, and I want to have a discussion, see if there, if the positives might outweigh the negatives in that grand scheme of things.
Well, I was just going to ask a quick clarifying question, Dick, on your proposal, and that's a discussion item, it's still a proposal, is are you recommending that potential Clean Water Commission candidates, say, come to a Clean Water Commission meeting to sort of interview for the position, or are you recommending alternately that a member of the Clean Water Commission participate in the board's interview process as part of that panel, not the whole commission, but say just throwing out there the chair, something like that?
I guess I conceptually don't perceive that the entire commission would be involved in interviewing every candidate. It's just logistically, I just don't see how that would work.
Historically, they've somehow managed to always put together kind of a well-rounded group.
Is that your perception, Earl?
Over the years, what they've done, and here's how it was working early on. What they tried to do was to get people who were living in unincorporated Clark County, that means outside the cities. Then they said, okay, what is their interest level? What are they representing? Who do they represent? Where do they come from? So we put a little map together and we showed that they're outside the county, they pay the fee, blah, blah, blah. And then as time went along, we said, okay, they're not outside the county. Now some of them are in the city. It could be Vancouver, Battle Run, wherever. So we said, apparently the board has changed its point of view or how they would like to look at it. So with all that being said, it's really up to the Board of County Commissioners at this point in time. I understand what you're talking about. So it's really still, in my opinion, up to the Board of County Commissioners. It's your guys' option, make a recommendation, however you want to do it, and let the board, let the county council hear about it.
I just think from a discussion standpoint about thinking about time commitments and things like that, to be clear on, you know, what the process may be, you know, is I think pretty fundamental for
it is. That's why I wrote it up.
I'm sorry, Rob, I jumped in front of you.
Well, I just kind of curiosity, Commissioner Wheeler, being things. On average, how many people apply for local positions?
Well, right now we've got at least 6 people applying for one position, 6 people, 8 people applying for 3 positions.
Well, then she's definitely right. That's we should get whittled down before we come into the process, if at all.
You know, I would like to suggest something maybe a little tighter than what you thought. We maybe be allowed to sit in on the interview, but remain silent unless they specifically ask us to, you know, participate in things. You know, maybe to answer a question or something like that that the applicant might have. But then, afterwards, if we have comments like we don't think this person is a, you know, satisfactory board member or whatever our comments were, we make them privately to the commissioners and like that. Because it is their job to basically approve the.
Or the county manager or whoever.
Yeah, whoever. But, I mean, you know, do it privately to them after the meeting, but to sit there and remain silent until, you know, unless we are asked to speak or clarify or something like that.
I'm not sure.
To the applicants. But, you know, it's their job to approve the applicants. We would sit there and then we would all come back and also share, you know, what our comments were.
Here's my only concern, and it dovetails off what you've already said, is that, okay, just imagine one of us is the only one that ever has the time to do that, so one person would always be speaking on to, oh, this person should be in, this person should be in, and then it filtered waters down the diversity that we have right now.
It could be an undue influence.
Well, also in the past, the board had asked for diversity of people, so first couple of 3 years, we had people who were engineers, had a bunch of engineers on this group. We had people who were land developers, we had people who were architects, we had people who were just real citizens. We had people at large, we had people from the dairy community, we had people from rural lands. So there was a breadth of people with various experiences. And then it started to shift. You could see it shifting from not only type of education, type of interest, types of people, to levels of interest over time.
The way the appointments go, I think that's a great point, Rob, and something to consider could be, you know, these are 3-year rolling appointments and they're staggered, so they're intended to, you know, every year we'll be looking at, you know, three potential openings, right? And then every year the commission elects a chair. It might be the same chair, as you say, but if for consideration, you know, having perhaps the chair participate. I mean, the recommendation could be to the board that, you know, they see value in having the chair of the Clean Water Commission participate in some capacity in an interview, and that theoretically could be a rolling position. It could be a different person every year, you know. So if you're the chair next year and they're doing 3 appointments, it's a different person. Something to think about.
And I bring this up not asking anybody to make a decision. I just sort of plant the seeds that you did. Just let it sit in the back of the head. There's nothing that we would do right now anyway, or, you know, given the timing of the current positions that are coming up, replacement wouldn't work anyway. So just like the changes in the bylaws where some of these things won't take effect for some period of time, I just wanted to plant that seed, and perhaps at our next scheduled meeting we can circle back around and see if there is any thoughts, any additional discussion, and whether there's a direction you do or don't want to go. I just wanted to plant that seed. That's acceptable. Okay? All right. Any other comments on that topic? No. We're cooking right through here. It's working. I need to keep you cut for my time. So. The last item before we go to public comment is the NPDES Permit Stakeholder Committee Advisory is seeking a representation from the Commission again. And as the comment was made a little bit ago, there were 2 different groups that that had some participation in. Earl, you want to kind of summarize this?
Well, I'll take this one because it's something I'm doing. And I should have worded this or looked at it a little closely. For the NPDES Permit Stakeholder Advisory Committee, it's specifically our design manual and code update process that we've talked to you guys about last year. We have a technical advisory group that are really getting into the weeds of our design manual and provide, you know, practitioners. And we have a broader stakeholder advisory group just to sort of more of a sounding board to advise on the process. There's folks from, there's property owners, there's school districts, property management companies, you know, just neighborhood association council representatives, stuff like that. So what we're looking for is Jim Carlson was sitting in as a member of the Clean Water Commission on that stakeholder group, and we're looking for somebody to participate in a few meetings on our design manual and code update over the course of the year.
So I wanted to bring it up. I think I sent everybody a link just in case you hadn't received it to the feedback that was received and the changes, suggested changes, or the request for changes to the manual that was a couple weeks ago, I think. It was in December. So I wanted to bring it up and see if there was anybody in particular that had a glaring, raving, absolute need to be that person. I can certainly do it. I have time. I'm happy to do it, but I don't want to in any way usurp that.
So meetings are during the day.
Okay, well, that just knocks me out.
they're daytime meetings.
And how long do those meetings typically last?
A couple hours. They're typically like a 4 to 6 type of thing for the stakeholder folks. But they are.
Gary and I had attended several of the stakeholder advisory meetings, and they were in the afternoons, et cetera. So with the same expectations. So I'm happy to do it, but I wanted to make sure that there was somebody that was chomping at the bit that really wanted to do it. I'm perfectly happy to have someone else do it.
We can let you chomp.
No other interest.
Well, raising our hands.
Okay.
How many meetings
here you go.
Are we
Put your hand down. I'll turn upside down. You won't be able to
do that. Typically, is this a whole year's process, or is this a...
Yes.
our anticipated schedule on adopting our design manual is sometime between October and December, and so it's I can't commit to a number of meetings because I don't know off the top of my head, but it would probably be three, maybe four.
During that period of time.
Yeah.
During that period of time.
We don't have a firm deadline on our adoption because it's sliding in the permit.
Well, I might find it interesting.
No, I mean, you certainly probably have the technical background to weigh in more thoroughly in detail.
Yeah, I think that level of commitment is something I could probably handle, so I'm willing to take it on.
Okay. Anyone else? I'm perfectly willing to accept David to represent the Clean Water Commission on this working group, if everybody else is okay with that. Yeah.
Okay.
And some other meetings.
And Commissioner Meyer.
Okay.
Is it here or next door?
They're somewhere around here.
Somewhere.
Okay. Either here or
they're in Vancouver.
The second or third floor of the little center.
No. It won't be in La Center.
So Commissioner Meyer shall be the go-to person for this year. Before I go to public comments, any other topics or items that anybody would like to bring up?
Point of clarification. So did you accept the stakeholder advisory position?
No, actually, I did. David.
Okay, I thought that was on the manual updates.
That's what
the manual
But you said you wanted to do that, so we were...
Well, my understanding is it's just the one position, correct? The technical.
The stakeholder... Advisory committee is the one we're looking for,
right.
Someone from the commission to participate.
Right. And that will deal with the manual?
Yeah, that's
the...
That is the manual.
Right.
It's sort of vaguely worded here. I just wanted to point out that it's specifically the design manual.
No. All right.
Okay.
So, any other topics before we go to our...
This is regarding Karen Grinstead water right in the creek up there in Washougal. I went out there, been out there twice, spent the better part of one day and then another 2.5 hours with Councilor Medor, Richard Dryland from Fish First, a hydrologist, and two other landowners. And I have to tell you, I see things a little differently than what Chris Clifford does. And I've read her documents, and she indeed has a senior water right there. She does have PVC pipe in the creek. There's a 5-inch pipe that goes down through the rock bed that taps this artesian well. And this stream is... This stream starts where that wellhead is. There's no water on the other side of the driveway. So I think that her well, this artesian spring, feeds this creek. The day we went out there, the second day, it was just a muddy mess. There's a catch basin that's supposed to catch the runoff from one side of the driveway, goes underneath the driveway, and it was dry, and it looks like it's intending to go into the creek. The hydrologist from Fish First was real concerned about that. He said, this just isn't right. There isn't any rock in there, it's nothing. And it's right by the big electrical supply unit for this mobile home. There are two wells there. I've talked to Ecology and the Health Department, and those wells can be there. You can put a well right at the edge of the creek. I talked to Joe at the Health Department about the septic. He said everything is by the buses. And then we were walking up on 412. 412 is the dividing line between Skamania County and Clark County. And you see on the Skamania side, you see the ditching along the county road and where the runoff goes. But where this property starts, the short flat, there's no ditching. And that means, evidently, this runoff is going right into the area where she's collecting her domestic water. She says that once, you know, before all this development happened, her water was fine, and now it isn't. My biggest concern is that that I can see in our area of concern is that runoff, could that be at all impacting her water right and the stream health right there off of 412? So I see it draining directly into her area right there in that stream.
Commissioner Rasmussen, you also, thank you, by the way, forward that report around. You also said that you believe that there was a violation of environmental law.
I hope that we're not in any violation there if that runoff is going right into that stream. I got an email right before I left this evening that she's filing suit in the federal court.
So we don't need another lawsuit. I mean, we.
No.
What is it that you're asking us as a group to render an opinion on, or ask the department to look further into? I know that you requested some input. I think from Ron, was it on the question of whether or not there was concern about the county's roles and responsibilities and the maintenance of the road to prevent further deterioration of the watershed, as I read it.
Right, I ran into Ron last night at the hearing, and I'm not gonna. I'll let you tell him what you told me. You know, this poor lady. You know, my heart just goes out for her. It's a volatile situation, and I just I hope we're not responsible for her degradation of her water quality at all. But I just want to make sure we have our I's dotted and our T's crossed. She's truly good. She told me this day. She's talking to an attorney, and here she told me this, you know, tonight in an email that she's filing suit.
So, Commissioner, how is it that Skamania has ditches on their side of the road, but Clark doesn't?
I don't know. Ron, you
want
to explain that? I'll explain
that.
Not technical.
Well, so a few things. One, the ditching thing. We have roads all over the county that have ditches on one side of the road and not the other side of the road. Mm-hmm. It's totally common. We put ditches in where we need to move water, and it's not abnormal to see ditches on one side. Just depends on the situation. The ditches are there, one, to handle the runoff from the road, and two, to handle runoff coming from the land down into where the road is so it doesn't run onto the road. Totally depends on the run. If you have several thousand feet of road that's all draining to one area, you're going to need to put a ditch there. If you're at a crest or some area where it's not generating a lot of runoff, you don't need a ditch. So it's not unusual at all to only have one side, have a ditch on one side.
Would that be a less expensive solution to dig or ditch?
I think, so my opinion, this is my opinion that I gave to Susan last night, I think putting runoff in ditches and conveying it to streams is worse than letting it run off the side of the road and make its way wherever it's going to go. In answer, Susan brought up two questions. One is, our runoff affecting her water right? And the answer is no. She has a water right to take water from a spring as it comes out of the ground, not out of a stream. And the runoff that we're generating is going down into that draw and into the stream, not into her
well. So it's going further down.
I mean, it, it
where her, right. her wellhead is.
Sure. So that's the water right question.
Good.
I mean, we're contributing water to the stream. Mm-hmm. The other issue in terms of Clean Water Act liability, and again, it's my opinion, I think we are in no way in violation of the Clean Water Act for not having a ditch there. Our permit that we get from the state, which is a state waste discharge pollution permit and a Clean Water Act authority to discharge runoff from our stormwater system, is just that. It's to discharge runoff from an established stormwater system, curbs, catch basins, pipes, ditches. If we don't have a system, then our permit doesn't apply to it. Does that make sense? So we don't have a ditch. The permit doesn't apply to the road. It applies to our stormwater infrastructure. So we don't have Clean Water Act liability there. That's my opinion.
What is the relief that she's seeking from the courts? What does she want the court to do?
Sure, she has clean water.
No, I mean, well, what does she have? It's specifically to file a lawsuit. It delineates the remedies sought. What is she seeking?
That somewhere Clark County has contributed to the degradation of her domestic water supply.
So she wants them to drill uphill?
She wants them to drill a well? Or no. What does she want?
She doesn't. I talked to her about that, and so has Councilor Madore about drilling the well. Her neighbors have it down to 160 feet and 180 feet, I believe.
That's pretty shallow. Yes.
You know, $40 a foot, she wants to retain her water rights. She wants clean drinking water. And I don't know if something has happened after this short plant went in place. Something has happened to her water. She had clean water before this short plant went in, and now she can't drink it. It's salty, it's cloudy. I don't want to see another lawsuit on us. I just want to be sure we're not responsible.
She wants the county to determine why her water degradation occurred and then fix it? Is that what she's seeking?
Well, she thought the county must have something to do with it because it's in the short plant and all that kind of thing.
So the county has allowed development to occur that has impacted her?
Yeah.
Somehow this development has impacted her drinking water.
Okay, so she wants the county to determine how that happened and fix it. Is that right?
Okay. I believe so.
All right, thank you.
But what really my overriding concern now at this point is, okay, here we have an irritated county citizen, just like we talked about earlier, the school district. And I believe she hasn't been treated in a respectful manner. This is my overriding concern. We're already confronted with a poor public relation. I mean, look at our audience. Every month it's like this. People don't know who we are, and they do find out they don't like us very much. And we're tasked with going to the public and asking them to give us more money. We want to create a positive professional perception and relationship with the public as much as possible. And I've heard Chris Clifford raise his voice at her. And again last night, he's talking about it pretty disrespectfully, frankly. And I've never seen that all the time here coming from anything close. And that demeanor reflects on us. And it disturbs me.
Right, will you keep us in the loop, and we'll, if it's something that we can do, or we should do, or that we can comment on.
But, yeah, Ron, is there anything that we can do for this lady that we're not doing?
I don't know. I mean, for a good answer.
I know.
I mean, I'll just speak. I mean, I've spoken to Mrs. Grimstad. Members of my staff have. We have always treated her with respect. A lot of county staff have looked at this issue. I've done a review of the short plat, the permits that are out there as well. I mean, as you said, our public health department has looked at the septics. Everything going on out there right now is permitted and operating within the conditions. Day-to-day, you know, construction, you could go out there and see an erosion control problem, you know, in between when our inspectors get there. But that's typical of any development. She's in a difficult situation that she has a water right for a spring that is not on her property. She has a right to that water. She has a right to convey that water. If you see on the plat, there's an easement for that pipe that runs through someone else's property under a road, down a stream, and eventually gets to her. Mm-hmm. She's in a tenuous spot for having a drinking water supply.
No.
But I think, you know, definitely in the current situation, I think the county is doing everything that they could do. That's my opinion.
Well, particularly what bothers me is that if Commissioner Medora has offered for county to drill a well.
I don't think he's offered that.
He hasn't.
But
he had a discussion.
Okay, so she hasn't refused a county option.
Even if she has a well, she still wants to retain that water right in the stream.
Well.
I hate to cut this off, but
we
need to wrap our time up, number one. And we still have to go to the public. Any public comments?
Right. I had a couple
just
questions.
Just for the record, Art, the name?
Oh, pardon me, Art Stubbs. And I'm representing the Neighborhood Association Council for Clark County. Here's some of the things that were asked of me. With the present budget, is the goal of this commission to do only the work that meets the minimum requirements of the NPDES permit, or to develop a program that would surpass the permit limits and lead to cleaning up the water? That's one statement. We'll need an answer. Will the new rate include capital programs? Which, knowing the state of the budget right now, I don't see how it can. A comment regarding new members of the commission, I would say stay out of the selection process. I think by having an eclectic group, you get a more diverse opinion. If you start interviewing people, you're going to get people of your liking only. And I don't think you want that. From the very first meetings that they had with the task force, and in fact, I was one of them that said, well, this place looks like it's cut in stone. I couldn't have been more wrong, because the diversity of the group really led to everything that we've got here now. So I would say, like a jury selection, you know, pick them at large and let somebody else do the job and you work with them. Listen to their opinions too. On your suggestions here, which I really like, the three groups, I guess in answer to you, or to hit on what you were saying earlier, are you really open, or do you have a hidden agenda on your first clean water fee group? And this has to do with the Columbia News penalty, and that's what the public looks at it as. You can call it a pollution fee or anything you want to call it. The general perception from the people that I talk to, and I say, you know, where do you think we should raise, or where do you think the county should get the money from for the clean water program? And I mentioned the Columbia newspaper. They say, well, you know, you got a couple commissioners that don't like that. That's what they're going to go for. So you should know that that's the perception going in. And when you write your report on a fee, proposal, you should have that in the back of your mind. On the swamp thing, that is really a great program because you're going out to the public and gathering information to build a program or not build it. And by getting the diverse group that you're going to need, you're going to really find out just what the opinion is of people in getting a permit process through to do a development. I think it's a great move. On education, again, I would have to ask why. Are you asking for information from the public in an education group, or are you informing them of what you want to know? And you have to decide that before you can set up the group. You asked, or the education people came here from the school districts, and you were right. Maybe, you know, what could you have said to them? You can talk for an hour, and there really is nothing we can do because the decision has already been made. Or, you know, what would the other answer be? When you go out to the public and they come to you and say things to you, they really are expecting change. They're expecting you to take their concerns, incorporate them into your program, and do something about it. Or give them a damn good reason why you can't. One or the other. But it can't be, well, one of the commissioners owns 15 acres out here and he doesn't like that part of the program, so we're not going to do that. You know, it. What do they say, like Caesar's wife, you have to be above reproach. This never has been a political body. Don't make it one. Keep yourself above that. You have great staff. Believe me, I've worked with a lot of staff in a lot of different counties and a lot of different states. You can't beat the people that you've got here. You ask them a question, you'll get an answer. May not be the answer you want, but you'll get an answer, and you can ride with it. That's all I have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
And no other members of the public present, so I'm going to close the public comment at this point in time.
Right.
Seeing that there's no other business before the commission, then we shall, at 8:37 p.m. on January 7th, 2015, close this version of the water commission.
Thank you. Thank you.